Hello, this is Terry Cheek, pastor of Calvary Baptist Church in Marion, North Carolina. I want to thank you for choosing our broadcast, and my prayer is that it will be an encouragement to your walk with the Lord. Comments or questions can be directed to me via the link on our sermon audio page. Now, on to your selection. This morning, if you would please, take your Bible, turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1 this morning. As I said earlier, we're going to take a look at some things from God's Word about mothers. Mothers are very important. Mothers are mentioned throughout God's Word, from Eve right on through the book of Revelation. There are mentions of mothers. Now, mothers play such an important role in God's Word, and they have such an important impact in our lives that we can't ignore their influence. And that's what I want us to think about this morning, the influence of a godly mother and faith. Faith that has came from mom down the line. So let's look in God's Word for just a minute, beginning with verse 3 out of chapter 1 of 2 Timothy. I thank God, Paul says, whom I serve with a pure conscience, as my forefathers did, as without ceasing. I remember you in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also. Therefore I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And may God add blessing to the reading of His Word. When Paul wrote this letter to Timothy, Paul was in prison. But yet 2 Timothy is a very encouraging letter. 2 Timothy is a letter that lifts up. It not only lifted up Timothy, but it will lift up you and I as well. Now that's something that's interesting, because coming from a prison, you wouldn't think someone would get a letter of encouragement, because there's not a lot of encouragement in prison. I know. I spend too much time there. I'm there 8 hours a day, 5 days a week, and sometimes much longer than that. There's not a lot of encouragement there. The people that are living their lives out there will tell you even more greater detail than I can. But yet, Paul, while he was imprisoned in Rome, he wrote this letter. And I learned something a long time ago about this. You know, I know the Roman authorities, they had Paul in shackles, and they had him in the lower prison, and they had him chained down into the hole there. He wasn't going anywhere. But I learned a long time ago that Paul wasn't imprisoned to Rome. Rome was actually shackled to Paul. Because you see, Rome had to deal with the preaching of the gospel. All they done was they put Paul in one great big echo chamber, and they chained him there, and they let him preach. And he preached. And he preached some more. So that's why Paul could write so encouraged. Paul was getting to preach. And he could sit there in that echo chamber, and it would echo all through the prison. He had great acoustics. He didn't need a sound system. And from that, Paul wrote this letter to Timothy. And as he starts off, he says, I thank God, whom I serve. He thanks God because of his forefathers. He served as his forefathers did. When we think about serving God today, do we think about the influence that others have had on our life? Do we really consider the influence of good godly people? Now, there are ungodly people who have influence in our lives too. But I'm talking about good godly people today who have influenced our life and who have given us encouragement, who have given us structure, who have given us something to really hold on to and build a foundation. And I know the foundation we're talking about is Jesus Christ, but we have to be introduced to Him, don't we? We have to be taught. We have to understand. Like, just like the children up here, they had to understand faith. We talk about faith. They hear faith in Sunday school. They hear faith in children's church. They hear faith from me preaching. They hear faith all around them. And many adults likewise hear faith. But how many of us really understand anything about what we know? We put faith in a lot of things. You put faith in your car to bring you here this morning. How many of you actually thought about, before you got in, how many of you actually thought about opening the door and it not starting? How many of you just took it for granted that when I open the door and close it and put the key in, it's going to crank? How about when you came in this morning and took your seat in the pew? How many of you gave a second thought about that pew being stable and sturdy and it not collapsing? Or it not turning over backward with you? You had faith in it. You may not have realized it and you may not have considered it that at that time, but that's what you were doing. You were putting faith. Putting faith in your car, putting faith in that pew. And there's nothing wrong with that. I'm not being critical of it. I'm using it as an example. We likewise have to put faith in God and we have to learn what that is. And Paul, as he had taught Timothy, and taught Timothy and brought him along as his son in the pastorate and in ministry, he was thanking God for those who had taught him. And he was also giving encouragement to Timothy as someone whom he taught. He says, I remember you in my prayers night and day. When we pray, when we pray, we all have our personal prayer list, I'll call it. We all have the things that we want to daily bring up before God, but how often do we remember others? How often do we really remember others that are looking upon us for influence? We need to consider that because we are an influence. You are an influence. I've said before, you will influence people that I will never get to talk to. You will influence people that will never listen to me just because I'm a pastor. They'll shut me out. But you can influence them. And I pray for you and I lift you up in prayer that you would be the kind of influence that would touch their lives. And moms, you are touching the lives of your children daily. Grandmas, grandmothers, you are touching the lives of your children daily. They're moving and they're working. They're growing. They're learning. And it doesn't matter how young the children are, how old the children are. My mom is sitting here today and I learn from her. She influences my life daily. That's a reality. It happens. It's there. And I thank God for that influence. I thank God for the opportunity to grow in wisdom daily because of what I see and what I can learn. Paul talks about seeing Timothy through his tears, seeing his tears. There are struggles in life. There are difficulties. We all go through valleys. There's not one of us here that doesn't, that hasn't. And if you're sitting here and you're thinking, well, I can't think of one recently, just hold on. It's coming. It's coming. I promise. But with that, with those tears, come growth and come maturity, come development, come faith. Because what we're doing and what we're dealing with in life are things that God has placed before us to increase our faith. They are things that He has allowed us to experience. Stumbling that He has allowed us to make. Falls that He has allowed us to take in order to increase our faith. That's right, God will allow us to fall. He will allow us to fall and He will allow us to hit very hard too. Just to increase our faith in Him. We may have our faith in something else. We may have our faith in a career. We may have our faith in money or in retirement plans or in investments or Who knows? The list can go on and on and on. But we may have our faith in all of that, and God may actually take it away from us. God may actually allow us to hit rock bottom and have nothing. Nothing. Just this morning, I read a post by someone on Facebook. He wanted prayers. Not just to me specifically, but he had just sent it out to a group of people. He needed prayer. Last night, he found himself homeless. And he wanted some tips on how to turn his SUV into a home place he could live in till he could get back on his feet. And I'm not going to go into a lot of the detail, but God had allowed him to fall. And that's where he landed. He had an SUV, and he was going to have to make it his house. And there were people giving him all kinds of advice. Try to find a campground, an RV spot where they can let you stay there. At least that way you'll have a shower and you'll have running water and all kinds of suggestions like that coming through. And I'm sitting there thinking, my goodness, you know, I like to camp. I go camping and we look for those kind of amenities in the campgrounds when we go there and do those things like that. But this guy's talking about making a life out of it. For who knows how long. Could you do that? Sure, you could do that. And he may have to in order to learn a lesson. Moms allow us to learn some hard lessons. But you know, that takes a lot of courage from moms. And moms, I want to applaud you this morning for the courage that you have to be able to let go. To be able to let go and let children learn. And sometimes the best lesson learned is a lesson hard learned. But moms and dads, parents, they have to be willing to do that. Because if we wind up sheltering and shielding from every experience in life, when mom and dad is no longer there, these adult children have no idea what to do. They're not going to know how to cope. And in case you haven't noticed, if you watch the media and watch what's going on around the world, there is a great deal of people out there that don't know how to cope. They don't know how to do. They don't know what to do. Moms influence their children by allowing them to fail, so that they can learn an easy lesson as a child and it won't be so brutal as an adult. And that takes courage. Mothers are courageous. And Paul knew that. And Paul was coming to that point with Timothy in his letter. He says that he calls to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you. What a testimony that is to Timothy. Timothy's faith stands out. Timothy's faith stands out to Paul, but not only that, Paul remembers that it was first there in his grandmother Lois and in his mother Eunice, and I am persuaded or I am convinced that it is in you also, Timothy. That's what Paul was saying. Moms, you want to know what kind of an influence you've got? Look at Timothy and look at Paul. Now, we can get into a big study of this, but to give you the Reader's Digest version, it's believed that Eunice and Lois was saved by Paul in his first missionary journey, and that's how Paul got to know them. And he saw what work Christ done in their heart and life and how their faith was built up and how they shared that, which was very difficult for them because in Timothy's case, anyway, Timothy's father was a Gentile, was a pagan. He didn't believe in anything, and his mother was Jewish, so she had Judaism in her background as well, and she was saved. So here they were all growing and learning and developing and moving, but the faith of his grandmother and the faith of his mother was evident. It was strong, it was bold, and it helped develop Timothy. But you know what? It wasn't a structured lesson routine. It wasn't something like you go to school and you get a syllabus. I remember going to seminary and Bible college and getting the syllabus at the beginning of every semester. And I remember looking through that and saying, well, this shouldn't be too bad and this shouldn't be too bad. And say, ooh, where did they come up with that one at? Learning faith and being an influence in someone's life isn't like a syllabus, though. It is a daily routine of taking our experiences and putting them to work in the lives of others so that it makes a difference. And that's what Timothy had from his mother and from his grandmother. Moms, that's what you do in the lives of your children. You daily make an example of yourself to your children, and they soak it up like a sponge. They can also soak up some of the bad stuff, too, if we're not careful. We got to watch. We got to be careful. But just as they soak up the good, they can soak up the bad. But here in the end, Timothy knew Christ, and Timothy knew the work and the calling of Christ in his life, and he followed it. What greater accomplishment can you have in your life than to raise your children up and they follow in doing the service and the work of God? Now, it may not pay a lot. It may not have a great benefit package to it. It may not have any of the worldly attributes that anything else has had, that other careers may have had. But the retirement plan is awesome. So what greater testimony to your faith could there be than to have children who will grow up and serve God? That's the picture of Lois and Eunice here, as given by Paul. Paul knew them long before he knew Timothy. But yet, because of them, he says, I am persuaded, I am convinced that this faith, that this strength is in you also. Now, why was Paul giving this to Timothy? Well, it's believed that at this point in time that Timothy was struggling. It's believed that Timothy was really having a tough go of it in the pastorate, and maybe even considered giving up and walking away. Because we go on in verse 6, Paul says, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you, which through the laying on of my hands. Paul says, I ordained you. Paul says, I recognize where you're calling. I recognize where you were at. I recognize what you were doing. And I ordained you. I know it's tough. I know you're struggling. I know things are bad right now. But stir up that faith that's in there. Stir it up. And I'll bet Mama and Grandma was right there lifting Timothy up in prayer. I'll bet they were praying, and I bet they were helping bring Timothy to revival so that Timothy could bring others to revival, so that those that were revived could lead others to Christ. Nothing compares to a praying mother. And I'm not saying mothers don't make their mistakes and don't have their problems. None of us come with an instruction manual. The only manual we have, any of us have, is God's Word. And life throws some curveballs. It really does. But God's measuring faith. And He's measuring the heritage that comes from a godly family, that comes from a godly mother, that comes from a godly grandmother, and how it is handed down over generations. Timothy is now the third generation that God is working through, and faith is being developed in. You stop and think about your family this morning, the moms and the grandmas that are here today. Think about those. Think about how many generations you're influencing and have influenced in your life. Think about how God has blessed that, and how God can bless that, and how He will bless it. That in and of itself is enough to stir up the work of God in all of our lives. God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, he reminds Timothy. Mothers aren't fearful. Mothers will put themselves in harm's way, and they will stand in harm's way to protect their children. But we do have a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. And there is no greater love that you can find than the love of a mother, not this side of heaven. You want to see a picture of that biblically? Go look at Mary, Jesus' mother. From the time of her conception and the understanding from the Holy Spirit of what was going on in her life, till you see her at the cross with Jesus hanging upon it. You see the love of a mother. And you see the power that God gives mothers, godly mothers. Power to persevere when difficult times come. Power to endure the difficulties in life. And a sound mind to lead and to guide through them. And this is influence in the lives of the children that are in their families. Yes, Timothy's faith is pictured in here, and Timothy's heritage is pictured, but that heritage come from his grandmother and come from his mother. And that's a picture I want you to see this morning, moms, all of you. You can replace Eunice and Lois with your names. And with it comes not only the influence, but the responsibility and the faith of turning out a team. Now, I have no doubt, Scripture doesn't say this, but I have no doubt that they prayed for Tim. That they prayed for God to use him and God to take him and God to do something with him. Because in those days, when the church was just getting started, if they weren't lifting someone up to be involved in the church and for God to take them and use them, where else were they going to go? To the Roman government? To fishing industries or the textiles, and there's a big textile industries then with those things, not machines and mechanized like today. Then there was farming and agriculture. There was a lot of opportunities. But I have no doubt that Mom and Grandma prayed for Timothy for God to use them, and God bless them. Mothers, continue to be that influence in the lives of your children. Continue to grow yourself spiritually. Continue to grow in your faith and in your walk with God, and let your children see it. Let your children experience it through you. They see you walking close to God. They see it being meaningful in your life. It's going to be meaningful in their lives. And down the road, you have a Timothy. You have a Timothy. You have a child that has followed the calling of God. You have a child that is a direct tribute to your godly influence. That's the power of a godly mother and the influence of the Lord in that life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the mothers that are in attendance today. I thank you for all of the mothers that are in our church and in our congregation. Some are not with us this morning. Lord, I know that they are just as important. God, I lift them all up to you in prayer today. I thank you for the influence of my grandmothers and my mother. And Heavenly Father, I pray for the mothers that are here that they will have a heart of being that same type of influence in their children's lives that Eunice and Lois was in the life of Timothy. Lord, I thank you for all of the godly mentors that you put in the lives of those in ministry today, in my life and in those around the world. I thank you for the encouragement of your word. I pray, Heavenly Father, that it wouldn't return into your void. I pray that what has been preached and what has been said this morning would not be words of a mortal man, but would be the words of God penetrating the hearts and the lives of those in attendance and those listening. Heavenly Father, lead, guide, and direct us throughout the remainder of this day. Bless all of the mothers as we'll be visiting and seeing them throughout this day. Bless them tremendously. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.